it takes us more in the direction we want to go around defining the mission of the hospital movement around competency rather than around certification. So we're very unlikely to have any regulatory body in Canada declare that they've certified somebody to be a hospitalist per se. But if you think about hospital medicine as the construct, so taking the focus off the person and onto the patient and onto the work, then you can declare what the competencies are that are required, what the preparation is, what the evaluation and maintenance is, and all those associated factors. And then we can all be clear on what the job is. And we don't have to be as tied to whether we were initially trained as a toenail specialist or as a follicle specialist or as a heart specialist or as a specialist in community family medicine or what have you. And it's broader and more inclusive, but at the same time, as being more inclusive from a people point of view, it's more defined from an activity perspective. So that would be the second major reason. And then the third reason that I don't know if it's unique in Canada or it may be common elsewhere is, you know, that we have second level providers who work not at the attending physician but in other associate types of roles that have acquired the name, and it helps to distinguish what those programs are from what we would see as the core, you know, the basis for somebody working in the field, which is that they're working as the attending physician, making independent professional judgments about their patients, being the physician of record.
And the second level providers, we're talking about physician assistant, nurse practitioner.
That's right. Or internationally trained individuals that are not eligible for licensure for various reasons. They may be progressing in a path towards full licensure, which would be the idea, but for whatever reason, or they may be in a terminal pathway towards the end of their career and be working in a supervised environment. So in Canada, we're making good progress. You know, we've been well aware of the U.S. process core competencies in hospital medicine. And similar to the U.S., we've approached it using disease states or syndrome presentations, as well as procedural skills, as well as system-level activities like quality assurance, quality improvement, you know, health system planning, those sorts of things. So the competencies are broken out along those lines. A very large working group, over 100 people across the country who are writing and reviewing those competencies for the Canadian context. And then there's a very well-defined process to validate those. And then the next step will be to elaborate the evaluation criteria, the learning objectives, those sorts of things. So that's all going on right now. Some of those competencies are close to completion, and some are earlier on in the process. But our objective is to have all of that in a publishable, referenceable format within the next year or so. The Canadian Society of Hospital Medicine has designated a fair amount of resources towards that. It's being very capably led by some academic family physician and general internal medicine leader who have identified as specialists in hospital medicine. I'm not an expert in the U.S. program, but in Canada, the idea would be that they would, the core competencies would be useful for those things that you mentioned, you know, establishing a hospital medicine program, doing a, you know, an internal evaluation of your own skills or the skills of your group, determining where you need further professional development and how you might achieve it, forming a basis for, you know, periodic evaluation of your practitioners, understanding the quality of care your program develops. All of those sorts of activities could be a good candidate for the core competencies. One step further than that, though, is getting the regulatory college to agree that this represents a, you know, a subset of practice and a discrete, attainable set of skills which would certify you as having that particular competence, if you will.
And this is how we would define who is, in fact, competent.
Eventually, yes. As you point out, it's broader than that. We would want to see that a program is competently delivering these services. We want to see that a population has access to these services. We also want to see that an individual physician is capable of delivering them when they call themselves a specialist in hospital medicine.
I think you also said that another step in this process is fellowships in hospital medicine.
So we have a number of fellowship programs in Canada. They're typically one-year programs that follow full certification by either a specialty or a family medicine college. They typically are pursued by graduating residents or by international medical graduates who are seeking to beef up their skills in the Canadian context. But there are other, you know, practicing hospitals who are now going back and doing these
All right. So if they complete the fellowship, that should certainly give them a leg up on being able to say that they have the competencies.
Yeah, and if I had to hire two people who were otherwise similar in skills and so on, but one has completed the fellowship, then that would undoubtedly be a differentiating factor in a program like the one I lead.
And do you know roughly how many fellowship programs there are in Canada in hospital medicine?
Probably about half a dozen.
All right. So it's still small, but if your competency project is completed, would that perhaps spur more rapid growth of fellowships?
Yeah, absolutely it would. And, you know, there are other sort of specialized areas that are going through the core competency process, sometimes some that are well ahead of hospital medicine. So, for example, anesthesia, palliative care, care of the elderly, and some of those, you know, relate very directly to established specialty programs. But, for example, anesthesia, there's a huge need for rural anesthesia in Canada, as you can appreciate, and it's not practical to have a fellowship trained in anesthetist in those centers, nor is it really required. So there's a certificate of added competency process,
right,
recognizing what are the competencies to safely develop the rural GP-level anesthesia. As time goes by, I think it becomes more and more obvious to people that hospital medicine actually is a discrete set of skills, and it's not that not everybody could attain those skills, but in order to attain them and maintain them, you need some training,
yeah.
You need a certain amount of volume, and you need a professional development pathway that creates and maintains competence. And it's becoming more and more clear that it's not just simply another thing you do, just like psychotherapy in the office or well baby care in the community or something. There are actually distinct set of skills.
Like other medical specialties.